It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ocean temperatures are at record highs. That is the latest from the World Meteorological Organization. We examine the consequences of this global warming and how it could affect life in Wisconsin. You can be part of this discussion, calling in with a question, sharing concerns, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Boyer is an oceanographer with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who specializes in ocean heat. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network. Welcome back to Wisconsin.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So scientists have measured record high temperatures in the oceans this year. It's alarming. Can you quantify how much warmer the oceans are now?
Yeah, so sea surface temperature in the ocean in July and August, well, actually every month since May, has been about 0.3 degrees Celsius higher than any year before. And that goes back, to about 1880, the record. And so that doesn't sound like much, 0.3 degrees Celsius, but that's the average over the northern and southern hemisphere. And so right now the southern hemisphere is in winter, while the northern hemisphere is in summer. So that is a huge difference, a huge increase in temperature in the ocean.
Are the depths and the ocean surface warming at similar rates?
No. The ocean, the sea surface temperature is basically the manifestation of the direct heating from the solar radiation. Mm-hmm. And that heat penetrates deeper into the ocean at a very slow rate. So when you can see large fluctuations, seasonal fluctuations and so on in sea surface temperature, the heat deeper down is usually rising at a steady rate. So the ocean heat content, which is what we call it, we usually think of heat in the ocean in terms of energy, the heat that's absorbed, which of course is manifest in the temperature, but that temperature change is very small. Even at the sea surface, it's 0.3 degrees Celsius. Deeper down, over the last 30 years or so, it's only increased in the top 2,000 meters about 0.2 degrees Celsius, which again doesn't sound like much, but if you take that over the entire ocean volume, that's an immense amount of heat. So just the amount of heat in the last few years, each year that has gone into the ocean, is about more than 20 times the entire use of, or the heat energy generated by the entire use of energy by humans per year.
Wow. How are you and fellow scientists able to get accurate, consistent measurements of temperatures in the ocean depths?
So it's actually very difficult to get measurements in the ocean, or it has been. You have to send a ship out and with the proper equipment, and then drop that equipment down to the ocean depths and bring it back to measure the temperature and other ocean variables. And of course, it's difficult to get to many places in the ocean, and it's difficult. The weather conditions, like going out in winter, can be extremely difficult. But since about 2000, we've had a revolution, a technological revolution, and we have profiling floats in the ocean, the Argo profiling floats, that now we have robotic, these instruments attached to the robotic floats that drift at about 1,000 meters, and every 10 days come to the surface, measuring the temperature to the surface, and send that to satellite. So no longer do we have to rely on ships and weather and the vagaries of the ocean. We have a steady global set of temperatures that give us the changes in heat in the ocean.
And it sounds like you have this uninterrupted flow of data, of numbers coming in, that would probably be very helpful to you as a scientist.
Yes, it definitely is. The ocean is basically it's the mitigator of energy in the climate system. The ocean covers more than 70% of the global surface. And its average depth is about 3,800 meters. So it's a huge volume of water. So any excess energy in the Earth system, that means solar radiation coming in and heat radiation going out at the top of the atmosphere, whatever the imbalance there is, about 90% of that is absorbed by the ocean. So if we can measure the change in the heat of the ocean, we can basically understand exactly how much heat energy is being trapped in the Earth system.
Tim Boyer is with us, oceanographer with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as we talk about how rapidly warming oceans could affect the world and here in Wisconsin. You can call in with your questions, share comments at 800-642-1234. Tim, are oceans warming faster than other large bodies of water, such as the Great Lakes?
They're not warming faster per se. So the heat uptake by any body of waters is going to be dependent on the heat capacity of water. Mm-hmm. And all water has a great capacity to uptake heat. So the Great Lakes would be taking up heat pretty much at the same rate as the ocean, but the Great Lakes are relatively shallow as compared to the ocean. So they're not storing the heat. It's usually the heat in the Great Lakes is usually radiated back out to the atmosphere in fairly short time scales. Whereas in the ocean, the heat is absorbed and it goes down to very deep depths. And as it goes deeper in the ocean, it can take thousands of years for it to come back to the surface. So it's basically storing that heat deeper in the ocean.
Hmm.
As opposed to the Great Lakes, which radiate much of that heat back out to the atmosphere.
I wonder if you can talk about marine heat waves, because NOAA is also tracking and monitoring a really large marine heat wave. What are they?
So marine heat waves are, it's statistical definition based on sea surface temperature. If the water temperature for two or more consecutive days is warmer than 90% of historic temperatures, then that is considered a marine heat wave. So the top 10% of all temperatures ever seen, if that's seen at the sea surface for two or more days, that's considered a marine heat wave.
What happens to marine life as we see these record high temperatures?
Well, that definitely the heat is going to affect. I mean, I think most of us have heard or aware of coral bleaching. The higher temperatures affect and stress coral reefs, and the longer those temperatures are in effect, the more stress on the coral reefs. Now, other ocean life, the basic base of the food chain, the plankton in the ocean can be very susceptible to temperature changes. So there can be a lot of stress on that plankton. And what you see as these marine heat waves become more common, or as the mean temperature of the ocean changes, is you have say a northward migration of these plankton that can no longer survive or thrive, I should say, in the higher heat. They will move northward and then to cooler water, and then the marine life that depends upon them will also move, and so you have complete changes in the ecosystem and in fisheries.
It's like climate migration for oceans, almost.
Yes, yeah. It's exactly, yes.
We heard from Elizabeth in Verona, called in, and Elizabeth is thinking about having a child soon, but seeing ocean temperatures rise so sharply is making Elizabeth rethink their plans to start a family. And they're even considering moving further north due to the threat of climate change. How should we take this information about the oceans and apply it to our personal lives?
So the ocean is the buffer of the Earth's climate system. And I actually take heart in that the heat in the ocean has been increasing pretty steadily. Now, the sea surface temperature, the marine heat waves, that which we're seeing, which is making news right now, those are fluctuations. And to be honest, they're pretty scary fluctuations, the high temperatures we're seeing now. But we can rely on the ocean to some extent in the long term to be a buffer. These short-term changes, these high heat events in the ocean, are just the surface manifestation, and the more steady the longer term, the ocean will absorb and continue to absorb a lot of the heat, the excess heat in the atmosphere, and be that buffer for the Earth system for a long time to come. Now, there are changes, of course. As more heat comes in at the surface, the ocean tends to become more stratified, meaning that the warmer water tends to stay near the surface, where the cooler water is down below. So it takes more energy for that heat to penetrate. It stays closer to the surface and has less of a mitigating effect on the sea surface temperatures or atmospheric temperatures. And so we do have to look at that. I'm sorry, this is kind of a long answer to get around to.
Appreciate you.
I am reassured by the ocean being a buffer for the changes that we are seeing. But at the same time, its capacity to be that buffer is lessening over time.
Let's just pause.
I'm not going to give advice to someone about their choices, but I do have confidence that the ocean will help mitigate the changes that are coming in the future.
That is oceanographer Tim Boyer with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration explaining what could happen as the oceans of the world hit record high temperatures. You can join the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share concerns at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As oceans have never been warmer, we learn about the serious consequences for life around them, what it means for Wisconsin communities. You can enter this conversation, call in with a question or comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Oceanographer Tim Boyer is at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Tim, Wisconsin being more than 1,000 miles from the Atlantic Ocean, our state about 2,000 miles from the Pacific, is Wisconsin insulated from the effects of warming ocean?
No, not completely. Definitely, there are effects of warming oceans that aren't affecting Wisconsin, such as sea level rise as the ocean warms, and water expands and sea level rises. That's not going to directly affect Wisconsin, but the ocean is directly affects weather patterns globally. And right now we are in an El Nino period, which is warmer temperatures in the upper ocean in the Eastern Pacific, Equatorial Pacific, which have a great effect globally on temperatures and precipitation patterns. And so the effect from El Nino currently in Wisconsin would be, the expected effect, I should say, is warmer temperatures over the entire northern United States. And of course, the long-term ocean warming, the ocean, again, is the mitigator of the Earth's climate system, but it can only mitigate so much. And so long-term, the sea surface temperature and the atmospheric temperature are going to rise.
Do you know, do scientists know, is there a limit to how much heat the oceans can absorb?
Yeah. It's a vast body of water. And right now at the ocean depths, the near the bottom, the temperature is close to freezing, and that water has been there, won't cycle to the surface for thousands of years. So that there is a great capacity to uptake heat. It's more that as the near surface warms, as I was describing in the answer to the question before, the ocean is going to become more stratified because the heat is all coming, the warming is all occurring at the surface, and it is circulating throughout the ocean. But as the surface warms more and the cold, there's warm water in, up in the upper ocean and colder water deeper down, the ocean becomes more stratified, and the ability, what that affects is the circulation. Less water, there's less ability for the water to go deeper down, so it stays near the surface, and that water, the heat in that water will radiate back out to the atmosphere, and there's less capacity to uptake heat. So the ocean doesn't have, well, there's not so much a limit on the ability, the capacity for the ocean to uptake heat, but the conditions are changing, and less heat will be enter the ocean, or will be radiated back out into the atmosphere.
As you discuss changing conditions, Paul in Chippewa Falls called in, and Paul was taught in school that glaciers have affected Wisconsin and the Midwest for centuries, and is wondering, how is what's happening now with the oceans different from what's happened hundreds and thousands of years ago?
Different now. The uptake of heat, well, I'm not a paleoceanographer, but the ocean has seen increases and decreases in heat based on the paleoclimatological record, but our modern record is basically limited to about 1880 to present, mm-hmm. and what we've seen in that period is that over the last 20 years or so, the increase in ocean heat has been pretty steady and much larger than in earlier time periods. Now, we don't have that long of a record, but it does appear, at least in the modern record, that the ocean heat is increasing at a rate much larger than it was earlier in the modern record.
Tim Boyer is an oceanographer with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. As we discuss rapidly warming oceans and their effects, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Jeff is here from Waterloo, Wisconsin. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I read in a journal a few years ago that there are some long cycle currents in the ocean, at least the Atlantic, where the polar currents, the cold water sinks, flows to the equator and then rises, and it takes like 50 years for this cycle in the Atlantic. And I was wondering, is that true or accurate? And is there also a cycle in the Pacific?
Jeff, thanks for that question. Tim, can you help us out here with long cycle ocean currents?
Yeah, that's the overturning circulation, and the one you're referring to, or at least first, is the North Atlantic, the Atlantic meridional overturning circulation. And that's basically the heat. So the ocean heats is going to heat more at the equator than it is at higher latitudes. And that water is moved to the north in the Gulf Stream. So that very warm water comes through the Gulf Stream and up into the northern latitudes, and that's a big transfer of heat from the south to the north. And then that water cools, the water in the north cools, and it sinks because it's very dense. So it sinks, and then it comes back south in the undercurrents. And so very cold water comes south at depth in the ocean. And this cycle is continuous. The possibility, and what we've seen, and this deals more with the ocean's freshwater cycle, although it is also related to the heat cycle, is that if the water in the high north becomes, in the high latitudes, becomes very fresh and less dense due to melt of the glaciers up there, then that the water doesn't sink and doesn't come south again, and that kind of shuts down the overturning circulation, and all that heat in the Gulf Stream stays to the south. Now, this hasn't happened, and we don't see any real evidence that this circulation has slowed down, but that is a possibility.
In our last moments together, in your research at NOAA, what are you trying to understand about the oceans now?
We're trying to understand ocean circulation changes due to the changes in heat and fresh water, how that affects changes in ocean circulation, such as I just described. And I didn't fully answer the question. That does happen in the Pacific, but to a lesser extent. And how then these changes in the ocean affect the Earth's climate.
Do you feel that there is hope that we will be able to get oceans back to a normal temperature at some point?
Well, oceans back to a normal temperature. Well, that heat is pretty well sequestered in the ocean. Mm. I don't necessarily see a reversal of the increasing heat in the ocean.
Okay.
But my hope is that the ocean is such a buffer for the Earth system that even as the energy in the Earth system increases, the ocean increases as a buffer to that system. That doesn't mean that we won't see the effects, but that the effects are mitigated by the ocean. And so that gives me hope.
Tim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Tim Boyer is an oceanographer with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, specializing in ocean heat. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.